We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We'll get back into the Red Sox later on in this hour. Right now we're talking about Robert Kraft because it was a busy day down there in Florida. Lawyers for Kraft were in there filing additional court papers to support their effort to suppress that video footage from ever getting out to the public. Meanwhile, the judge, Leonard Hanser, did not rule today on the video evidence. Instead, he set April the 12th as the next hearing date. Meanwhile, the media out there, including, CBS, on behalf of Boston Channel 4. That's the station that Kraft has business dealings with. That's the network that Les Moonves used to run, that Kraft obviously had a great relationship with. He was the guy who helped the league negotiate those deals.
A dark day for Red Sox fans.
He's negotiated deals with Channel 4. Matter of fact, Patriot All Access is still there, and they may be running this video here in a matter of weeks because they were in court with their attorney fighting the case, contending the public has a right to access evidence in the case. It is part of Florida state constitution. It overrides Kraft's claim that his privacy will be violated. So this one's getting really ugly right now. Back to the phone calls we go. We go to Jim in the car. Hey, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
What's up?
Yeah, it's fruit from the poisonous tree. It's not really evidence yet because the judge hasn't ruled whether or not it is evidence. So the issue is whether or not it's fruit from the poisonous tree. I believe it is because they obtained it illegally. They were instructed to monitor, not videotape. So everybody's up in arms about why Kraft is fighting this. The only reason he's fighting this is because that videotape.
Yep.
That videotape, whether or not it goes into court or doesn't, is going to be case law.
Yeah, okay. I think it seems...
I've heard of this fruit of the poisonous tree so many times. Every cop or lawyer always throws this fruit of the poisonous tree
at you. Because it's illegal. That is what it means. If you go in, if any way, you know, search and seizure, you know, stopping somebody illegally or whatever the case is, and you obtain something from them, it becomes fruit of the poisonous tree. Same thing with this case here. They were told specifically just to monitor, and they videotaped. So
what are they going to say? They're going to say monitor implies recording.
They can't because they requested monitor and record. The judge came back and only gave them monitors. So they could argue the case and say, well, we meant it when we said monitor.
Oh, you know what I meant, Judge. Come on.
Yeah, it doesn't
work. What are you doing?
I said monitor. I think in law, like in sports talk shows, words don't mean squat.
Yeah.
I think in court cases, I think they mean something.
I just think the longer this thing goes on, the more we talk about it, the more it's in the public eye. I'm just listen. It's embarrassing.
Yeah,
it's
but not
nothing changes. We all know what happened. It's embarrassing. And then in a month or two, the video comes out, and it'll be embarrassing again for another day or two, and that'll be it.
Yeah, but this does have a shelf life. This is not one of those things that goes on for a year and a half.
Well, we're going on for months now because
2 months.
Everyone's fighting it.
2 months. That's nothing.
But what's he supposed to do? I've heard people say this because they're tired of it. He should just throw the towel in. If he throws the towel in, based on what I'm reading here, these media outlets that are all in there fighting to get the evidence, they all get the evidence. They don't have to pay for the evidence. They don't even have to worry about TMZ, Lou. They can go in there and request it.
Mm-hmm.
They get the evidence.
And they show the video.
They show the video.
Sure do.
Yeah.
And then a day or two, we move on. Who the Pats play next week? The Bengals or the Browns?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Who are we going to be on?
Whatever.
I'm not sure. It's a day or two with the internet? I'm not sure. It's a day or two.
We're on to Cincinnati.
You know, you're talking about your moral values. I think the moral values of some people out there
are really going to talk about Lou's moral
not
values?
Not after a weekend
after
Vegas.
Do we really want to get into that? Hey, our first episode of Jock It starring Nomar Garciaparra.
Oh, that'd be good.
And Lou Maloney.
That'd be good. John is up in Maine. Hey, John.
Radio today.
Hey, guys.
John.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, so basically, Lou,
is that a point when you're saying we know what's on the video?
Yeah.
I think it's like we have an idea of what's on the video.
Really?
But, you know, not to say Robert Kraft's a freak or anything like that, but you never know what actually happened in that room.
It is a good point.
Are you sure? Okay.
I don't know. He's a 77-year-old guy, too. Like, we assume everything went in there 15 minutes, he was done, but who knows? Like, it could have been awful for him. So I think you got to press this thing until they rule it inadmissible, and then you try to lock it down from ever getting out. And probably it will anyway, but...
Let your freak flag fly.
I just think with
his... going to surprise me. I know the ending. I can go make a movie script right now and put the script together and reenact everything that happened in that damn room. We all know what happened. Everybody knows what happens. Well, when it comes out, we're like, yeah, there it is.
Hold on. Unless it's freakier than we thought
it was.
What
do you think? There's like a little tiny pony walking in the room or something?
I have no problem.
What the hell are we talking about here?
What videos you watching these days? Stacy is in Revere. Stacy.
Grabbing their hoo-ha's and everything.
Whatever. Stacy.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hey, Stacy.
Hi, guys. You know, I don't think this video is coming out because it was obtained illegally. So they've got the video, but they don't have the right to put it out there. And if they did, who wants to see that? That's disgusting.
A lot of people do. I don't.
Why?
I personally, I don't.
Stacey, actually, you're on your computer. This thing pops up. Are you X-ing it out? You're not going to watch it? Curiosity?
Absolutely X-ing it out. Not going to watch it. There's no doubt in my mind.
You're a liar.
Who wants to see a 77-year-old guy get it on? Not me.
I don't think anybody does, but just curiosity.
Did the Christian comment?
No. I told you I changed my mind. I will watch it if it comes out. I definitely will. But just with one eye.
Why don't you go over Dale's house? You and Dale will get
Dale
some
and I can make hold
popcorn,
each other.
Make some popcorn.
Well, is it over?
Unless it comes out like during like the Bachelor finale, then you won't watch
nah,
it.
Nah, true. I had a new show, though. I have a new show that's even better than
Thank you, Stacy. What's your new show?
It was called Temptation Island.
Is it the same thing?
That might be the video.
Isn't that like all like the rejects from the show itself?
No, that's shut up, you. No, this is actually so four couples go on this island and they separate the couples and they see who gets tempted. And they go on all these
tempted
dates
to go with the other member
with
the other
with
couple.
The other with the no with the other single women
that's
that are in the
disaster.
House.
Disaster. Who put
it was
that show
a disaster.
Together?
It was awesome. It was great.
Who call that show entrapment?
Who call it train wreck? These couples, four different couples.
They're not real people. They're actors, right?
No. Two guys got married. One girl completely dogged the other one out. It was pretty good.
I'm suspicious of a lot of these shows. I think they purposely do it because they want to make a career out of it.
It was pretty embarrassing what was going on in this show. I'm just telling you, I was embarrassed for them. The things that they are doing on camera.
Who would do that, though?
If The Bachelor
I tell you,
is
not
PG.
Happy couples. I can tell you that
no,
right now.
No.
You're in a good spot in your marriage. Right. Let's go to Temptation Island.
You know
Island.
What they did?
It was, swingers. These are like, swingers.
They're swingers.
Yeah. They keep saying, let's test how in love we are. Let's test our strength. Oh, okay. Let's put a hungry dog in a meat house.
What was the name of that movie? There was a movie like that, where they were testing. What the hell was the name of it?
Jesus. Oh, we should probably talk amongst ourselves.
We got to find it. I'll find this
He's
movie during
a
the break.
Stroke.
No, I'll find it. I'm good. I'll find this during the break. But there was a great movie about it.
Temptation
About
Island?
A year ago. No, it was a movie about couples that were
couples
dysfunctional.
Retreat.
And couples
retreat.
Thank you very
couples
much.
Yeah,
retreat.
But no, that good was job. Different, though. The couple stayed together on the TV show Temptation Island. They actually separate them, and you can't see your significant other for over a month.
You can only see the other girls?
You can only see the other girls. And then they have this thing where they show the other, your girlfriend, all the stuff that you were up to. So they show these girlfriends.
Oh, that's
like,
miserable.
It's a disaster.
So if you were to go to one of these places, would you wear like a chastity belt or something like that?
Listen, if I'm going saying, honey, on a show saying, like honey, that, fuck, I'm assuming good. I'm done anyways.
Yes, well, that's what I mean. You go on that show because you know it ain't going anywhere with your wife.
It's just easy pickings. I line all the girls up. I get to pick the one I like the most. And so what? I don't care what happens when I'm done.
Because it's over already.
Yeah, I'm going to test my love. Oh, okay.
No, okay. This is part of leaving you. I want nothing to do with you
anymore.
This
is part of the breakup.
You tell me, what happily married couple is going to sit there and say, hey, honey, let's do this. This sounds like a fun thing.
None of them.
Let's go on this show.
None of them. Swingers are miserable.
No, they're not doing it.
Swingers are miserable?
No, they're swingers or they're miserable in their marriage.
If you start swinging, isn't that just one step to divorce anyways?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think
you
know.
Already, no, I don't know.
I think you're already there.
I don't think all swingers are, I don't know. Do all get divorced eventually?
Clint's like, can we please move on with this conversation? I want to out myself.
Can you imagine the big fellow over here?
Yeah, I put my keys in the vase. Let me see who. Jessica.
That means
who
I'm in.
You want me to go back to the craft video?
Oh, Jesus, no.
So we've come to the conclusion, I guess, that he's got to win the case. Not necessarily the overall case. He's got to win the case of suppressing the video, because if he doesn't do that, he's screwed. Like in the case of Smollett in Chicago, all of those videos, all the evidence is there. And right now there are people that are out there picketing right now. They're marching out there on this Kim Fox. And
who?
Kim Fox, who is the state attorney. But there's nothing that they can do, because all of the evidence is gone.
See, I know that.
You can't get a hold of it. The videos are never going to come out.
Here's the thing. The videos are coming out regardless of what happens. And I don't think...
I totally disagree with you.
If they're illegally obtained,
somebody's going to prison.
No, listen, the guy, whoever releases them is not going to prison unless they have a videotape of that person videotaping the computer that it was playing on. Come on, don't be silly. Are you going to be that naive to think that?
I'm not naive. I disagree with you.
How many cases have come up where the video comes out?
In a case?
With a lot of powerful people who have money and they get pissed off.
Where the government has suppressed it? When? Give me one case. When does that happen? Have we seen any evidence out of the Jesse Smollett case? No. Have we seen anything out of the Jesse Smollett case? We have not. Nothing. No evidence. People are trying to get the evidence, but they can't.
But you did see video. Well, it was different, though, because you did see video of the brothers, the two guys, the two Nigerian brothers.
That was released.
The police department released all that stuff.
But there's more stuff. There's stuff internally. Now, we might get some stuff now because the feds are coming after him for actually putting together a threatening letter that apparently he wrote to himself. So there might be some evidence there. I don't know how much they're going to be able to go back and get this evidence because it's all been sealed.
In this day and age, in the state case, just have to, if you want to live on the, if you want to be on the winning side, you bet that the tape gets out. Would you say that? Regardless of the government or who's coming after you or who's involved and how much money they have.
I think we're talking about...
I would bet on the tape getting... I'm just saying that's me. You take a different wager.
Yeah. Well, no, I think...
I bet on the tape.
No, I think it's pretty obvious to me that if he can't get the judge to agree to suppress the video, that it was unlawfully obtained, then I would say it seems to me by law the video is going to get out. There's no question about it. If he's able to go into the court and prove that they unlawfully recorded him when they did not have the right to do so, I would say there's no way that tape is getting out.
Because
if that tape gets out at that point, somebody's going to prison. Who's going to do that? Who's going to risk it for what? For chuckles? Who's going to do that?
Oh, a lot of people.
No.
Yes.
I don't buy that.
See, okay, that's fine. I say it's coming out either way.
I'm with you.
For the inevitable, that it's going to come out either way.
Then why is he fighting it? He's fighting it because I think he thinks that's the only way he can suppress the video is by winning the case that they unlawfully obtained it. That's the only way, because state law down in Florida says that you've got to release the evidence after the case is adjudicated. So we can sit here and say he may try to keep this thing going for 2 years to hold back the evidence for coming out, because once the case is over,
the evidence
is released.
That seems unlikely. And the timing may play a factor in it, too. So you're already in April, and then next thing you know, the season will be here before you know it.
Talking about the season, Mutt already declared the Red Sox season is over.
I heard that.
This morning.
Yeah,
already over. Alex Cora is on the hot seat.
He wonders why nobody listened to him or believed him when he said that.
When you're someone like me who looks a step ahead, two steps ahead, five steps ahead.
Five steps ahead. Those are little steps, by the way.
He's got little legs.
I know what it's like, Mutt. Little chicken steps.
Three steps to R1.
Yeah, exactly. They're little steps. What is he talking about?
What else did Mutt get wrong?
Alex Cora is on the hot seat?
Yeah, we got to hear that coming
Cora
back.
Cora will be on the
back.
Hot seat.
Oh, there is no coming back.
Coming back. Oh, that's right.
What's wrong with
I saw that. I don't know.
Half an hour straight.
No, crazy. I forgot.
We're not taking any breaks.
I forgot. Yeah, play it right now. I want to hear this.
What can we expect?
Well, that's not it. Hold on.
Jesus, what was
that? Wait, so Mutt, was this an opening monologue?
Was this today?
This was this morning, yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
Sounds good.
I think he's on a hot seat.
I'm much more concerned about his attitude right now. He's pushing back at people, questioning his moves. He said David Price pitched well last night, gave him credit for going six innings, so that's where the bar is
David
right now.
David was actually good.
Yeah,
sure. You know, three pitches, three homers, but
yeah. So he's going down the
three
John
home
Farrell
runs in
route.
Six innings. Yes, sound like John Farrell to
oh,
me, Wiggy.
Oh,
people
just,
forget
please.
I tried to tell you the season started, Cora would be on the hot seat. He is front and center right now. I'm not going to be surprised if maybe we start to hear, you know, Tim Hires, the hitting coach, getting more of a look here. Or if Cora starts to spin it, say, you know, our pitching coach, Dana Lavangi, not doing a good job.
No, this is
he's fired.
This is
so these are the things you have to watch for when you're someone like me who looks a step ahead,
five
steps ahead
fine.
Of the situation. Not just the record, but how is the team responding to the manager?
Right, like, I
don't even want to exaggerate, okay? But that could have been one of the most stupidest things I've ever heard on radio.
And we've heard a lot of stupid things. And Mark James has never said anything that stupid.
Alex,
he said a lot of stupid things.
Is on the hot seat.
Yeah, well,
I want you to come up with a hot take.
Five
I'm
games
very
in.
Good friends with Steph Curry.
Five games in.
How could he be on the hot seat?
Five
right
games.
Now?
How many have they won?
But he thought at the beginning of the season he's on the hot seat.
They're in last place.
I mean, that's going to be one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life.
That's because you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
I'm serious.
Yeah. Mutt, really.
Let's go Red Sox.
But it is your typical. You do know, guys. Like, let's not get it twisted. That is your typical lazy take. The team doesn't start well. Farrell, I guess, is labeled testy. Like, so that press
Cora,
conference
yeah.
that Cora was testy?
Can I just say, it was.
That, was it?
No, it was. I thought like he came out. Like, for everybody doubting us, and I was like, Alex, you don't even need to go there right now. I mean.
Wait, did he get prompted into that? Did somebody ask him about that, or did he go there
on his
own?
It was just, I think they played late. We saw what the starters did in October. So everybody knew that they were going to have a light workload in spring training. And that maybe it'll come off to a tough start, especially 11 games in 11 days.
Out west,
you know. Yeah. So, but still, just the no days off, no rest, bullpen being taxed. They got an extra guy out there. So everybody knew that there was a chance, given what they did in October and how late they played, that. Yeah, they're going to have a light spring, and we'll see how they look. Give them two times in the order, maybe three times through, and hopefully they win games, and that's the biggest difference. They're just not winning games.
Here's the good news for Alex Cora. We can throw the Z on the hot seat tomorrow. He's joining us tomorrow at 2:30, our first Alex Cora show. Yeah.
Does he realize how hot that seat is getting?
Can I tell you?
I'm not hearing anybody worked up about it. I think Mutt, you know, talk about, you know, making up a fake rage. Nobody's talking about. Mutt would have been smarter to do what Callahan does, and that is you come in the morning. The game starts at 10 o'clock at night. You simply say, I had to sleep. I didn't see the game. I have no idea.
And I'll take on all challengers.
Because he's looking at the box score, and he thinks that Price was bad last night. Price was not bad last night, Mutt.
I don't think he was.
Matter of fact, of pitchers so far in these five games, that was your best starting pitching performance in the five games.
The bar's not very high.
No, the bar was low.
True.
The bar was low.
I thought he threw the ball well.
I did, too. Yeah, now, the home runs were bad, and one guy, it made no sense at all. It's not a home run hitter. But to say that he's on the hot seat.
He had a lot of pitches.
Two outs there in the sixth, right? And a walk and a bomb. But, you know, you would sit there and think, okay, I mean, 5 2/3, guy's given up, what, 3 or 4 hits, and two of them are bombs. And then I think he just kind of got fatigued, a little tired. But I thought, for the most part, you look at his velocity, his power there, he's throwing 94, good changeup, breaking ball. I mean, I thought he was locating well. He looked pretty good last night. So that wasn't John Farrell saying he had good stuff and Price saying I had nothing. That's just a bad comparison.
A case of one of the new terms in sports, load management. And unfortunately for the starting pitching, it was a light load management in spring training, right?
But it was the same as it was last year.
It was one less start.
One start less.
Okay. So there,
sorry.
There one
Whoa.
What a, oh, okay, so you
I'm
this
sorry.
Would this would have been what you've seen in the first week here is their last spring training appearance. That's what it was.
And you know, for people to think that everything was going to be exactly like it was last year.
They're not winning 108.
Everything was going to go right. Every decision that he would make would be perfect. Starting young guys, resting guys, that whole situation. There's no way. So if people expected that, I can understand or see why Mutt would sit there and go, oh, they're panicking. He's lost his touch. Let's question everything he did. Let's treat him like Farrell. Oh, he's going to get testy now. He's going to be combative. He's going to be defensive.
Oh, get ready. Get ready.
Apple Watch.
Because, you know, 11 games, 11 days, you don't think they're playing every single game, do you?
With the starters?
No, I'm just saying, they're 1-4 right now. It wouldn't shock me at all if Mookie's not in the lineup tonight. Or JD's not in the lineup tonight.
Lineup's out.
But that's what they do. That's what he does. He did it last year with more days off here in the beginning of the year. And it's not going to change. The only difference is last year when you were doing it, everyone's screaming, four games in. You got to give Mookie a day off? What are you, nuts? He only played four games, and he did it. But you know what? They won that night. So it was no big deal. Well, then they gave JD the next night, and they won that night.
And they'll lose some this year, doing
this year? Yeah. I mean, but how many times last year, how uncomfortable were you, and I still am to this day, that when they play at Fenway Park and JD Martinez plays right field, and they came out and said, listen, we look at all the numbers and the hitting charts, and we put him in position, he can handle it. He can't.
Nothing.
I don't think he can, but you know what?
Not like Mookie.
It never bit him last year. They would have JD in right field at Fenway Park. Duck and everybody boats. Knows that's the toughest field, toughest right field in all of baseball.
Play the wall.
And they put him out there in right field. I tell you what, the first time he plays right field this year, he's going to get exposed. But it never happened last year. They were just on a roll. So, you know, he'll get exposed this year in right, and they'll say, well, listen, we put him there last year, no one had a problem with it.
All right, so let's throw it out, guys. They're not going to win 108 games during the regular season. They probably won't win 100 games because very few teams do, okay? So they win mid-90s. Are they not one of the top five teams in the American League? Is there anybody? So we can sit here and we can debate. And by the way, the Yankees have like seven guys now on the IR.
Well,
the IR this year. It's no longer the disabled list. Andujar's
the big one.
And Andujar might be out for the entire year.
Yeah, that's the
okay?
big one.
So, if you look at it, there are very few teams that actually can make the postseason in Major League Baseball. They are one of them.
And the other thing, and Lou, you said this earlier, maybe losing is good for them. A little dose of reality.
Getting their ass kicked early on.
A little big chunk of humble pie to just listen, we don't want to keep this up, but a little reminder of what it takes and how hard it was last year to do as much as you would do.
It's fake rage. Anybody that's doing this and Mutt's doing it, I don't hear any others doing it. We didn't even get calls. Usually you get calls on after opening day when you lose and people are bitching and pissing them off. We're not even getting that this year because I think people realize, other than Mutt, that what are we talking about? It's fake rage.
It's
hot seat.
Too long.
The manager who just won the world championship.
And the reason why I say
congratulations to me.
You know, I don't think it's a bad. The outcome is what it is. You don't want to be 1-4. You'd rather be 4-1. But getting your teeth kicked in a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit of wake up call. And the other thing too is, you know how it is. What are they saying back home about us? Oh, they say we suck. They say you guys. So there we go. Now we're using this card.
You're arrogant.
Now we're going to use this card, right? Nobody believes in you. Everything you did last year, nobody believes in you guys. He goes down to that bullpen and says, nobody thinks you guys are good enough. Matt Barnes, you can't close. And oh, by the way, Chris Sale, you just took the money and ran. Everybody now thinks that's an awful contract. And they're ripping every single one of you guys out there. So now all of a sudden, here we go. Now, out of nowhere, they're going to try to motivate a team that just won 108 games in the World Series to make them believe that nobody thinks they can do it. Nobody thinks they can win a game.
Right.
And they'll use it.
Yeah, I can't get worked up. One in four. I can't get worked up. Jeff is in Stoughton here talking about the Red Sox. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Glenn, I'm not going to get worked up either. But Lou, calling in regards to third base, some of these runs that have been coming in at an abundance. How long does Devers feel safe there, and before another move could be made? Is this back?
What move though? There's no move. There's no move to be made. You know, it's not going to happen. I mean, he is. I saw the first two. I saw two of his errors. One of them I thought was just typical him, kind of like, you know, not reading the ball off the bat. Could have got around it. The second one was a nice play that I thought Travis should have got, and they gave him the error. I think he can play third base. I think he can.
Yeah.
But
you think Devers is the long term answer at third base?
I don't know. I mean, I think he can. I think he will. I think everybody's screaming for Chavis to go to third. I don't think you've ever seen him play. You think Devers is struggling at third. You should see him play third. Dahlbeck's got a chance. Yeah, I like what I saw from him. But, no, he's your third baseman.
Thanks a lot, Lou. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
So is the doctor officially back in business now? Is that what we're doing? I mean, can we have...
He had his Vegas vacation, and now he's back soon.
The doctor is back in business. Oh, Lord.
Listen, he's looked shaky at third base.
There have
three errors in five games, but again, he's looked good at the plate, I think. So we're going to get worked up about this. He's going to make a lot of errors. He's still a relatively young player who still is learning to play the position. But the upside with him, the power that he could present for that lineup, come on. You know, you can't give up on a kid that early. Here's Kyle in Longmeadow. Kyle.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Caller.
What's up?
I just wanted to touch on the fact that the light load and the fact that the pitchers haven't thrown a lot is going to hurt us early on. It's going to hurt us long-term, too. We're going to lose games because of it. And, I mean, it's said a lot. It's cliche. But, I mean, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I think that's what the whole mindset of this whole thing is. It's going to work out long term. Sale's never going to be able to finish a full season, period. We got to hold guys like him back, keep his pitch count low, and we're going to be right where we were at the end of last year. We're going to be in the playoffs, and we're going to have fresh arms. That's all I got, guys.
Thanks. Yeah.
Well, then,
that's right.
Then,
we'll see him at the end.
Then I'll tell you what, if that's the case.
There is no tomorrow.
If that's the case, and that's what you're going to do with Sale, you might have the same instance situation with other guys, then a guy like Porcello becomes extremely important. And we're talking about losing Porcello at the end of this year because Porcello's the one guy you could look at and say he can give you 210, 215-plus innings, right?
Yeah.
So if you lose him, now suddenly you talk about taxing that entire bullpen because you've got a bunch of guys that have given you 165 innings?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that's the road to success, is it?
Long relief, guys. You need those guys to gobble up two, three innings of whack. Now, one of them got popped for steroids. Or PEDs, whatever you want to call
it. I would say Brian Johnson may be the most important guy.
Real quick, you know, everybody wants like the kids, right? Dahlbeck and Chavis to come up, you know, third base. Devers is still a year and a half younger than both of them.
Isn't that amazing?
And he's been in the league for a year and
that's
a half.
That's amazing.
So everybody, bring the young kids up. I tell you, Devers right now to me is better than both of those kids defensively.
No question.
And it's just young. Now, he can't keep doing this. You can't make 45 errors this year. He can play. When you look at him, when you watch him play, his footwork, a little bit lazy, good arm strength, you know, hands, he can do it all. He just needs a little bit of time. You want those other kids up here, they'll be an absolute train wreck.
So on pace, I think, for 115.
You'll be fine. If you can get under 100, it'll be all right.
But he looks good out there. He's lost some weight.
He's fine.
Okay, looks
don't
better.
Don't be the fat guy at the buffet line and eats fast.
He looks better out there. There's no question about that.
The most disturbing... After the game, like you said, one time through the order. We'll see this next time through. The most disturbing one, though, was Saturday. And the comments after Saturday's game with Erod. That, to me, was the most disturbing one of the weekend.
Well, because they had a game plan, and he didn't follow the game plan.
Your first start of the year?
He's a freelancer.
You start game three? And I mean, it was Swihart's first game as well, so you could put some on the battery himself. Your first game of the year, they tell you that they want you to throw changeups to lefties and cutters into righties? And you throw one changeup to a lefty? And you don't throw any cutters into righties? Everything's backdoor?
So if you heard,
how the hell do you screw that up that bad?
Have you heard this has been a problem in the past, that he's not listening to Dana Lavanchi? So we keep on hearing that they go through all of these analytics, right? They go through the entire lineup. We've got guys now in the field that are taking out cards of where you're supposed to position. So the game has become very defined to the
game plan
little
specific.
Greek. Right. And so he went totally away from the game plan to the point where Dana Lavanchi actually said it when the game was over.
Yeah.
You never hear that. In public, they're basically shaming him, saying he didn't follow the game plan.
I don't know who had it, but they asked the follow-up was like, you know, well, what do you do when someone doesn't implement a game plan? Like, how do you... And he's like, oh, whatever. Getting his teeth kicked in, I think, helps. He even said that. But, I mean,
that
I know.
That works.
But Erod, yeah, he's had this. I think he's had this problem in the past. Sometimes you watch his game, you don't understand what the hell the pitch mix is going on. But I don't think that's a good reflection on Swihart either. You know, and I like the kid a lot. The one thing I don't know, because we haven't seen enough of him, is his game-calling ability. But that was not a first game for him or Erod. But that was probably the most frustrating. I heard, like, Lavanchi and Cora after a game, well, especially Lavanchi, I don't know what the hell they were doing out there. We told them how to attack these hitters, and they just didn't do any of it.
So I haven't heard a lot of panicking where the manager is on the hot seat. I have heard people connecting the dots, looking at the roster right now and saying Sandy Leon is not on the 25-man roster. He's in Pawtucket, was waived, and trying to put it all together and saying connecting the dots. Woo, that's why the pitching staff sucks.
That's the only thing that's missing. Games. That's the only significant piece.
And that's
piece.
What people do, right? They connect the dots and say,
well, it's got to be something. It's not for sale.
Right.
It can't just be the pitchers having a bad day. It's got to be something else. Let's search.
Sandy Leon circling the wind.
I think that's a big exaggeration. To this point, in five games, you're going to point it on Sandy Leon. Now, the Swihart thing, I don't know. You tell me. Can he catch? Is he a big league catcher, or is he just a major league hitter?
No, he can catch. I mean, we don't know what kind of hitter he is on an everyday basis. He can catch. It's just game calling. But he's a young catcher. He's 26 years old. Tech wasn't Tech till he was 27, 28. And Tech was a catcher, one of the best catchers of all time in college.
Yeah, they're late bloomers.
First round pick. I mean, but he had more experience back there than this kid did. So I just hope they don't give up on him. You know, when they come back and drop a reliever and call up Sandy Leon and have three again while they can. I'd say you gut it through and you got this work with the kid.
All right, 617-779-7937. We were talking earlier in the program about doing the math and how do the Red Sox, after signing Xander Bogaerts, do they sign everybody? Because you're going to run out of cash and you're going to get into that luxury tax thing where everything costs a lot more. Thanks to Alex Speer. He breaks the numbers down. We'll get
into some of
them next.
Inspired by Lou
Malonia.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
It's a challenge to us as we go forward. We have a lot of good players. A lot of them are getting close to free agency. That's the game today. I always respect a player's ability to get whatever they can be. We're hopeful to keep as many of them as we possibly can, but it's going to be impossible to keep all of them. It's not going to add up from a financial perspective, even for a large market club.
Dave Dombrowski in our conversation with him down at spring training. So earlier in the program, we were discussing this whole thing of what does the Xander Bogaerts and the Chris Sale signing mean for the future of Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez and Porcello. I think we all agreed Porcello doesn't fit in all of this. And again, I would caution people that the innings that he eats up in the course of a season is still a valuable asset, but you're not going to pay him $20-25 million bucks in the open market. Alex Speer, thank God, has thrown these numbers, and I had some numbers, and I took them off of the Jeff Passan piece, in which Passan was making a case where it's going to be difficult for Mookie Betts. I just don't see how they're going to be able to re-sign Mookie Betts, based on what Dave Dombrowski said. The cost is going to be too outrageous. So Alex Speer in the Globe breaks down all of these numbers. A number we did not know about, guys, is that if J.D. Martinez opts out, there he would still count as $6 million against the Red Sox payroll in 2020. The problem you have with trying to re-sign Mookie Betts right now is that the cost of going into luxury tax, it's going to cost you so much more money than just what you pay to Mookie Betts. It's you're going to pay serious luxury tax penalties. They are $40 million above the luxury tax line right now without paying that new money to Mookie Betts. And my guess is he's going from $20 million to $30 million next year in arbitration. But an interesting little tidbit here by Alex Speer. According to multiple major league sources, prior to the Bogaerts extension, the Red Sox have been trying to preserve the flexibility for 2020 to give the team the option, not the certainty, but the option of lowering their payroll below $208 million next season. Doing so would reset the surcharge the team must pay on all expenditures above the luxury tax line. How do they pay Mookie Betts, guys? They can't.
Well, it's if their goal is to stay over under 208, then they're going to have a problem. You know, and you're going to pay 50% once you go over. So in other words, let's say you brought back Mookie and you paid him, you know, and you extended him, whatever, and it was like $35 million. And then your payroll probably very similar to what it is now. Let's just call it like 230. You know, so 235 for simple math factors.
Right.
So basically over 208, right? So the second half of that 27 million, 20, because you're over, half of that at what, 13 and a half. So it would really almost be paying Mookie $50 million next year.
Yes.
As far as out-of-pocket expenses
yes.
go.
So they're not doing that.
If that takes him over the luxury tax and part of his salary is over that 208, the worst part is part of that salary will take him over 228, which is actually a 62% tax. So if you get Mookie next year at 36 and your payroll's in the same area now, really that contract's over $50 million a year.
Yeah, he says if they do that, they would owe a base tax of 50% on every dollar spent over $208 million. Then it goes up, as you said, 62% from $228 to $248, and 95% if you spend beyond $248. Well, they're at $240 right now.
Yeah.
Well, without saying, Sonny Mookie,
if you spend $250, you get 95% tax on $2 million. So that's an extra $2 million.
That's
it's
correct.
The other ones that you know, because it's a lot of dollars. You might be $20 million over, $30 million over. Tack on another $15 million if you're $30 million over.
Yeah, but if Alex is right and they want to reset next season, 2020, and if they reset, then the spending tiers would drop down to 20%, 32%, and 65%. The tax savings from resetting the penalty rates can reach tens of millions of dollars over a couple years. Guess what they're going to do in this offseason? They're going to trade Mookie Betts.
If that's their goal, yes.
So I think what they're doing is they're taking the sure thing. We know that Chris Sale wants to stay here. We know that we can get him to stay here. We can pay him. We know that Xander Bogaerts wants to be here. We can pay him, and we're going to take care of him. Now we'll see what happens with J.D. Martinez. I think Porcello's out. I think they're going to try to find a cheaper way of doing it. Drellick yesterday said they think that Porcello's going to have trouble in the open market. Maybe he can get him for a reduced price. I don't know. But you try to see if you can do something with J.D. Martinez. But if you're going to reset the luxury tax number, there's no way Betts is going to be here for next season.
No, well, if you're trying to reset, I don't think there is a deal you could take on Porcello either.
No.
It's like Kimbrel. I mean, you're so close to the thing now. If you wanted $5 million, you probably wouldn't do it. I don't think, but who knows? But I'm just saying, even if you got Porcello for like $10 million, that's going to put you over if you're trying to reset.
I keep on hearing people say, well, John Henry's loaded. He's got all of this money. He could do it. This is not his personal money. There are limited partners over there. There are other majority partners that are involved in it.
That's crazy.
It's not coming out of John Henry's pocket. People do that all the time. They think the personal wealth of the individual. It doesn't work that way.
This is why you need.
It's a company.
This is where you need just two or three guys in the system. Two or three.
That's
now,
it.
Whether it's a kid, Darwinson Hernandez, you know, where you could sit there and say, we got him for $550 as opposed to $21 for Porcello as our fifth starter. You know, this is where we could say, you know, Sam Travis, Bobby Dalbec, you know, Chavis, can they play first? I don't even know. You know, or can we get rid of the $13.5 million and find a kid? Well, maybe that kid is the trade with Mookie. You
yeah.
know, but who knows? Yeah. Maybe the fifth pitcher is a trade with Mookie. Because Su Wei Lin is taking over for, you know, maybe both these guys. Holt yeah. and Nunez are gone. That's $9, $10 million
yeah, not,
right
there. Not a great replacement either, by the way.
I like Su Wei Lin.
Okay, you're a big fan.
I am. No, I'm just saying, for what he brings... You know, Nunez and Holt, that's like $10 million right there, gone. Bringing a guy for $550.
Yeah, but if they're trying to reset next season, how does Mookie Betts come back here next year? If he, even if he goes to arbitration, beats them for $30 million in arbitration, and then you're paying luxury tax on top of that at a high rate, he's $50 million bucks thrown down the road.
If their goal is to get under 208, there's no chance in hell Mookie Betts comes back.
I'm telling you, we're wasting our time for the next year talking about Mookie Betts. I would love to see him here. He's the best player on this team. He's going to score big. He's going to make more money than Trout out there. But he's not going to be. He's not going to be here. They have elected to go the safe route.
Can you imagine if they end up trading him?
Mm-hmm. I think they will.
No, they may not have a choice. I mean, you said that, I don't know, maybe a year ago as far as what the options would be, and you talk about making, you know, tough decisions. So far, they're locking up their core, which I would call, you know, for the most part, between Sale, between
well, they've
Bogaerts,
got their pitching staff for the future.
They got their pitching, and they got, you know,
providing Erod takes it to
yeah.
the next level.
And there's and this whole thing. Okay, listen, we can't keep every free agent. Yeah, but realistically, they could keep the most important free agents. The Holtz of the world probably, we'll see what happens, won't
Porcello,
make it.
Holt,
Porcello's
Nunez.
Gone. Yeah, those guys would probably be gone. But even I still feel like they can still find a way to sign Mookie Betts, and that core will be around for the next 4 years, including J.D. Martinez.
They can.
But this is where like the kids
can
come into play. You know what I mean? Like, you need the kids.
You need 6 years of economic certainty with young players.
Well, I'm just saying, you need to feel as comfortable with Swihart as you do with Vasquez.
Yeah.
And then move his $4.5 million out. You know, and bring back Leon for another year. Whatever it is, keep him here for, with Swihart starting. I don't know if that can happen. You need the kid, Darwinson Hernandez. You need the two hitters. That's the only way. But I absolutely could see them moving on from Mookie. I would only, because people ask me, like, you know, the shelf life of this team. I'm like, what are you about shelf life for? They got four starters lined up for the next 3 or 4 years. You know, you still got Bogaerts here right now. Okay, you got some young kids. You got Benintendi. You got Devers. JD, I would be concerned if they lost Mookie and JD. That's when you'd be concerned, when you lose both of them.
So who's most likely to resign?
JD.
Absolutely.
So you lock up JD. He's making $23.75 right now. You say, okay, we'll rip up everything. I'll give you $4 and $100. 25. We go from 23 to 25. Okay.
So on the books for six next year, whether he's here or not anyway. So why not, you know, you can work around it.
And if you got to move Mookie to maybe get that young first baseman to replace 13F or to replace Porcello at 21, young kid under control, then you have to do it.
You brought this up a long time ago. They have to make a decision. They have to go with either, and you loved the, at the time, you said they've got to lock in Bogaerts because it's a very difficult position to get a replacement for. It's not easy, and your defense up the middle is key. And they did that, and they did sail. But they can't sign all these guys, as Dombrowski said. The out guy is going to be the most expensive guy of them all because he's the guy that's going to tip the scales.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to destroy it all. Why don't you think they went out and got themselves better bullpen help? Do you not believe that deep down inside, if you were to give a little truth serum to Alex, that he would say, first of all, that he's on the hot seat, and number two, that he's sitting there going, I don't know if I've got the arms to do it. Now, he's presenting a great image up front. He has to, because his bosses, the people upstairs, said, we got no more money to get bullpen help. We got to hope that Barnes, we got to hope that Brazier can really blossom and become those guys. And maybe they can, Lou. That happens in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and I think the theory really is like, okay, listen, we're still good enough. We got questions in the bullpen, but Barnes could surprise, and Brazier could be locked down eighth, ninth inning guys. They could.
Yeah, we'll get to the playoffs, and then we can do it in the playoffs.
We'll get to July, maybe we add one arm to help us get to the postseason,
right,
to get us through it all. Then once we're there, we know what we do.
But they weren't going to spend money. There were guys out there. There were guys for $9-10 million out there. You gave a list of guys. Did they show interest in any one of them?
The only thing I would say is that
they're not using Kimbrel.
Exactly. As far as what they've already done, you know, they increased Bogey's salary to $8 million more next year than he was this year. They increased Sale's contract to $10 million more as far as average annual goes. So that's $18 million as far as how much more money they're going to spend next year compared to this year on those two players. You know, Martinez, I still think the number's right around where he's at now. Just got to rip up those options. So maybe you spend another million. They're freeing up $18.5 million with Sandoval next year. So Sandoval's off the books. That takes care of Xander and Sale. And maybe an extra million or half a million, whatever, for JD.
They're at 240.
But you still got, no, I think that's why I say Porcello at 21 is gone.
Gone.
And if Mookie's 20 million this year is gone, it would be 30 next year. That's 41 million more.
So if you want to get under that threshold, you trade Mookie Betts for younger players in the offseason.
Boy, that'd be ballsy.
Mm. That's what you do. I would say, if I'm looking at percentages,
boy, if that did happen, those poor saps that got traded, oh man, talking about living up to expectations, not a chance.
But guys, one of them better be good.
Yeah,
but I better get a lot of them.
But you're only getting 1 year of Mookie though. That's the other thing. The value, you said it before, trade him now, which I don't think you would. But the value of that guy, knowing he's going to have to spend, you know, 10 years, $400 million for him, or $375 million. What's the team going to give up to you for 1 year of them?
Listen, if
you
Alex
get something, but if, you won't get maybe what you think.
If Alex's math is correct, and I believe it is, and his sources are correct, that Boston needs to get under that luxury tax number of 208 by next season, 2020 season, you're not going to have Mookie Betts on this team next year.
No, that's the
you will not have it. They need to reset and build for 2021. Mookie Betts is the guy that's going to be the out guy. All right, we got last call coming up next. Christian's going to make a case why all great athletes should suddenly become big entertainments, big rappers. He's going to make a case for it. They told me.
They should stay away from it because they all suck.
Yesterday we had country rap. Today we have athletes rap coming up.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Head down the stretch, my thumb.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier.
Brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car. Help a child today. Schedule your free pickup, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. We told you earlier, the AAF, if you were a big fan, you're the one out there. You're the one out there. You're the fan.
If you're a big fan.
If you're a big fan of the AAF. They went under today. And I don't know if this is a way of a multi-millionaire, maybe a billionaire, that's trying to write this thing off, because he put $250 million into it. He could take it off the table at any given time, and he did. And apparently, the word was that he lost approximately $70 million on his investment. And then,
in a hurry.
And then Bert Breer comes out with a story today. No. Here's what he did. He bought a majority stake in the league simply so that he could steal the gambling app that they were developing. So he can walk away from it and say, I might have put $70 million, but I got something, boy.
So
he
actually,
this thing takes off, boy.
So he owns,
watch out.
He owns the app then that,
he owns
that
the
was
app
in
now.
Development?
Yes.
I tell you what, if you're Vince McMahon, so the XFL is supposed to be starting next year, I think.
I would walk
you take
away.
This? Why would you do it? Why away. Would you even waste
it's
your time?
Feel
so the same athletes, Trent Richardson will be playing, will be a starting tailback. In the XFL, it'll have 20 touchdowns.
You know what the biggest problem is? The biggest problem is when you turn on the TV and you watch them, you don't recognize the costumes they're wearing, okay? The uniforms. They don't. They're
or
not
the names.
They're
you
not symbolic.
The
and you don't know a name. You don't know any of the names. None of the names.
Yeah, and it's not like you're watching prospects who are going to be the next superstars in the NFL. It's not the same thing, you know? Like, it was just, I just saw, like, what was it? The AA team for the Red Sox. All the prospects that are going to be down there. So you go to the ballpark in Portland, you hang out, and you watch these guys, Feltman, Hernandez, you know, who are going to be in the big leagues. You watch these games, and it's, why am I even watching?
So we were trying to figure out how many players from this league would actually make it to camp. And I don't know, I think we said it at
maybe
three.
One.
I don't even think.
Couple?
Maybe none.
Yeah, maybe
there
none.
Was a ten, it was a 10-week, 10-game season. They made it through eight. So all those guys, operations have halted, done, see you later.
If I were running the league. Okay, because this guy just lost $70 million. I would have paid $20 for Kaepernick. I would have paid $20 for Kaepernick. And I would have had the national anthem nationally advertised. I would have it on
the very
TV.
First one.
Put it on and see what happens. And I would get ratings, damn it. Now, I tell you what, if I had Kaepernick, I'd last more than 7 weeks.
Just hold on real quick.
Maybe eight.
This is my next question. It's funny, Tyler just brought this into us. Okay, what about getting paid? How are these players getting paid? Are they just going to stop paying them? Are they going to give them all the money? Because it was up to $100,000.
This is a tweet by Johnny Manziel. Read this.
Oh, if you're an AAF player and the league does dissolve, the last check you got will be the last one that you get.
You got that right, sucker.
So you're not even getting paid for the last game. You usually get paid on a Monday or Tuesday. No lawsuit or anything else will get you your bread.
That's legal talk.
Save
right
your
there.
Money
Water
and
talk.
Keep your head up. It's the only choice at this point unless something drastic happens.
In other words, you're screwed.
XFL.
Dollar bills.
XFL.
Yeah, you're screwed. All right. Usually people in my business, you know, that do talk shows and in the media, you know what we are. We're people
what are we?
That we're wannabe athletes. So that's what we wanted to be. It seems to me more and more, and you were talking about this off the air, athletes today don't want to be athletes. They all want to be rappers now. They just go out there and excel in the sport. Just so that they can put out an album.
Yeah, so Le'Veon Bell came out with an album. I guess, do we call them albums? I mean, I just call it a
it's
song.
It's still an album.
I don't know if I call
a
it.
A single.
A single.
What
and
do you call this?
And it's called On a Mission. So, a little taste of it. They all suck. So, I'm listening to this song, and I'm trying to think. Okay,
a lot of bass.
A lot of bass. All these,
the guy that you're
all these athletes. Give me one athlete that had a top 10 song, because you know they have access to all the great producers. All the great producers, and everybody
Shaquille
wants
O'Neal.
To play with them.
Shaquille O'Neal.
But he didn't have a top 10
song.
He's
like a DJ.
Yeah, but he still didn't have a top 10 song.
This, see, I think this one should have been top 10. This is a Shaq rap right here.
Yo, yo. I want to dedicate this song to Philip Arthur Harrison. Word up, because he was the one who took me from a boy to a man. So as far as I'm concerned, he's my father. He's my biological father.
I like.
Okay, fine. So you like the beat? It's you can tap your toe to it, but it never hit mainstream. Okay, Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders had one, right? Okay, so all they're doing is spending their money.
Spending the money.
Nobody actually makes any money. You spend more money for a video because no record label is actually going to sign you and commit funds to see send you on tour. Give me one guy.
Allen Iverson.
No, but he never, again, top 20, top 50. Did it ever hit the Billboard top 100?
I don't think it's
never. Not one. So what is the allure of it? I don't get it. Isn't there, so you write a song, what is it, Ricky Waters had a song when I was with Seattle, it was called Eye of the Hawk. I remember it was so freaking bad.
Eye of the Hawk.
Like, who cares, that Seahawk's not even a real bird.
But, you know, they got an opportunity, you know, every athlete wants to be a singer or an actor, every actor wants to be an athlete, a singer wants to be an athlete or an actor.
Okay, I get
so
that part.
So someone gives you an opportunity, hey, you want to do a, yeah, man,
no,
let's
no,
do it.
No, 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 oh, so I get that part. So I think they actually end up going to these people, say, I have a story to tell, but wouldn't you think at least out of all the rappers, sorry, of all the athletes, basketball, football, you would think at least one would have a top 10 catchy song with a good hook that would just get people going. One!
What, you guys, do you didn't like the Marcus Smart rap?
I thought that was because I need the room.
This is the guy. This is the guy that's stuck at the red light next to me, and my car is shaking.
Just shaking my window because he's bumping the face up.
That guy.
You can't give me a
kill. That guy.
Paris Hilton is dumb and as silly as Paris Hilton is. She got with some producers. They modulated her voice to make her sound good, and she had a top 20 hit. Is this it? This isn't it, is
no,
it?
No, this is the last call bed.
No, it's the last call
we
bed.
We play this every day.
This has a better chance. I should put some lyrics down to this bed. Turn this bed up real quick. Turn it up a little bit. Let me see if I can. It's a country song. I would do a country song. Sing
but
about
wait, wait a minute. Hold on for just a second.
They all
see,
suck.
No. I know the true history of this.
Of
so
what?
You were done with playing football, going over and doing this little broadcasting thing, is you tried singing a little country music. Unfortunately, for those people that missed his album, it was never released, but we've got a copy of it.
Ooh. Got out of bed, went right downstairs, and started making breakfast. That's right, because the kids were coming up, and they were going to be hungry, so I had to make some food for them. Put them in the car, drove them to school, came up to work, and ready to roll. That's right, because it's Friday, and I'm ready to grind, hit the pavement. And leaving nothing behind.
Woo-hoo!
Got on the conference call today and heard my boys singing all the way. I had Tim to my left and Lou to my right. And bringing up the rear, you know it's Joey. That's right!
That was the radio version, by the way.
That we didn't
play,
catch, that
didn't play the explicit lyrics. We didn't play explicit lyrics.
I was like, fine, I'll rip it out right now.
I like that.
Off the top of my head.
That was excellent. That was excellent.
That, was
that would
one.
Be a top 10.
You got into the better business.
Yeah.
You
did. We're waiting for an athlete to get a catchy tune.
Just that's one.
Now I'm at work.
Okay, stop.
Who do I see?
All right, does Chris Sale turn it around tonight?
Yes,
he win tonight.
He does.
He win tonight?
Yes, he does. Of course he does. He's the savior.
I think he dials it up.
Dials it up tonight.
I think. Ooh. I think.
Oh, he's going to throw. That means he's going to throw his shoulder out.
The velocity was going to be down to 93, 94,
no,
right?
I think.
More manager.
Him, I think he's going to try to set a tone for the second time through.
Okay.
He's going to throw his shoulder out. Is what he's going to do.
Here's the big question.
Better than this.
2:30 tomorrow afternoon. Alex Cora will join us live from out there in Oakland. Will he still be on the hot seat?
For him.
Yeah. Really? Oh, perfect.
Yeah, we'll play the Mutt sound for us. Let's do that. We'll do that tomorrow. All right, boys. See you tomorrow at 2. Who's coming up next? Ben Maller.
Ben Maller.
Ben Maller.
Ben Maller will be here. Evan Drellick will be joining him from 8 to 9, so don't miss that.
Does Ben know how miserable Evan is these days?
I'll be a surprise.
Somebody
find
tip
out.
Him off.
Let's not tell him.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow, boys. We're out of here.
I say thank you to my parents for making me the man that I am today. Friday, let's grind. Woke up this morning, got out of bed.
It's over. We suck.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.